Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. My Olympian mission is to promote lifelong personal development, human empowerment, out-of-the-box thinking, creative self-expression, and a dedication of one's unique talents to community service. All of my labors in this lifetime celebrate the hero's journey in myth, legend, spirituality, popular culture, and in daily life. I firmly believe that the human spirit is essentially heroic and always seeking ways to express its innate nobility and greatness, and that a life fully lived, dedicated to actualizing the highest we can conceive, is the noblest expression of human existence. Tonight we have a special show, The Enchanted Self, with Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and her guests Tara London and Matthew Howard Gooley. And we're going to be discussing The Enchanted Self, moving from Broadway to Zoom. But first, we'll share the song. Wonderful. And now Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. Greetings, Barbara. How are you?
Greetings, Hercules. It's a delight to be back with you, and I'm fine. I am here with two of the marvelous actors from the next Zoom drama that will go live next Monday night on YouTube and on Facebook.
Oh, awesome.
Called I Had an Affair with My Husband. And
that's
so
marvelous.
I thought that, yeah, I think that's a kind of interesting title that is evocative with good reason when we share some of what the plot is about. And I thought it would be fun to invite Tara London and Matt. Now, I knew I was going to block Matt Gooley, who are the stars of I Had an Affair with My Husband, and we could all talk about, well, I could say celebrating 1 year of the pandemic, but that sounds really silly and not very nice, but we can talk about some of our experiences both as professional actors and whatever we're doing. You and I are more in the mental health field, but we've also ventured into drama in many, many ways, and sort of see, just have a great discussion. So maybe we could start with Matt and Tara, if each of you might want to reminisce a little bit about the being in this production and maybe some of your reactions to doing this type of thing on a Zoom platform rather than if we could have filmed it this past month.
Sure. I don't want to jump in front of Tara, but I'll get started. How about
you're
that?
You're good, Matt. Go ahead, Matt.
Thanks. No, it's great to work on another production in the same format with the same style and theme in the trilogy. And I was very excited to be able to do it again. And kind of the whole picture of going from pre-pandemic to, you know, now we're close to the end, I hope, fingers crossed, and the changes to the medium of our art was something we discussed briefly on the last time we were all together chatting, and I think that was the most interesting element, was being able to find ways to create. So I was super happy to be a part of this, and when I found out there was the potential for additional episodes or additional scripts, I had such a great time the first time. I was super excited that there'd be another time. But it's very different than if we were filming it, of course.
Tell us some of the differences, bad or good, you know, from your perspective.
Yeah. Well, one thing that was an unexpected challenge, besides the interpersonal, the actual interaction, acting with each other and playing off each other, that's just a given whether you're on stage or in person filming something on camera. Is the technical challenges just personally, because I had to try to figure out what was wrong with my sound and what if it was my internet connection, things that you don't have to do if you're showing up on set and someone else is in charge of the tech. That was an unexpected challenge, finding a space that didn't have my furnace running in the background. So then I'm in a closet. Okay, that's well soundproofed, but now my microphone's not right anyway, so it doesn't matter where I am. My microphone connection's bad, or my internet. And those were funny kind of experience that were like unnecessary frustrations too, because it was just sort of like, oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm doing everything I can. You guys can't hear me. What's going on? And thankfully got that figured out. So that was one of those elements where you're like, wow, you take for granted sometimes what you don't have to worry about when you just show up to work on stage or on set, because everyone else is making sure it's well lit and making sure that you can be heard. The audio is being captured, the video. So that'll be my little icebreaker tidbit, without talking too long, so then we can hear Tara's perspective.
All right. Well, we'll certainly come back to you in a few minutes. Tara,
thanks.
Can you join us and sort of cover the same territory?
Zoom is certainly a different aspect of the acting world. It's certainly another layer that we have to learn as actors, because obviously we feed off the energy and the vibe of the surrounding areas and our actors that we're working with and the crew. So, you know, when you have to go on Zoom, it's just, you lack a little bit of that grit and that personality that you're, that vibe, that connection, the chemistry that you're building with your co-stars. So Zoom is definitely hard. You definitely lose a little bit when you're just looking at a couple boxes on a screen. But, you know, we're also actors, and, you know, we're built or we're trained to learn to be, like, diverse and to, like, learn different aspects of this crazy world that we're living in, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're being someone or something else. So we should adapt to, you know, looking at a screen, you know, because that could be a movie role or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I think it's a good thing for us actors to learn, but I don't really enjoy it because I feel like there's so many layers. Like, I love doing film because there's, you can really just, it's like an onion. You can peel the layers and there's just so much that you can dive into with a character, and I love doing that. So it's very, very hard, or you lose it over a camera, like as far as Zoom goes. But I'm super honored, Barbara. You know, I love the stories that you write and that Frank writes, and I really, really, truly, wholeheartedly hope that we can film them, because I think they're absolutely beautiful, and I cannot wait to really put them to life beyond the screen of Zoom. But I'm blessed and honored to be part of it, and thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you for being, you've been in all three, so you've had two different husbands. And Matt, you've been in two.
I have a couple husbands.
You've had Tara as your spouse both times. I'm wondering if each of you could talk a little bit about the differences in the two scripts. We're in one script. I had an affair, or did I? You're playing to each other as husband and wife with different issues than I had an affair with my husband. Did anything stay with you as interesting or different or confusing or anything comparing the two scripts?
I mean, there are definitely similarities, but I thought that they're were very different circumstances, which made them, you know, kind of separate studies on a similar type of intimacy and relationship. And obviously the one is she's with her husband, but she's fantasizing, you know, and wanting and thinking it's this other person that she encountered. I'm wanting to be with him, and other is where the husband is actually kind of driving it more and into becoming this persona. But then the interesting thing, you know, emotionally looking at it, at the study of the effects of that, where in both there's awkwardness to it for both the husband and the wife in both circumstances. There's various kind of emotional apprehension at times, or eventual kind of admission that it can't be all the time or it has to be slightly altered to be more comfortable in their relationship. That's truly why I am so intrigued by them, because I've, you know, been somewhat into just the psychology of people and relationships and that type of thing. So it was really an extra interesting element for a script, because it could have just been a story about a wife who had an affair or a husband who, you know, had this alter ego, but there's so much more to it that it really was interesting to me to portray that and to kind of help be a part of a study in it, which is educating people as they watch it too.
Yeah, I want to comment and then let Tara speak. As a psychologist who came up with the storyline with my husband, Russell Holstein, also a psychologist, putting it very, very well, Matt, that, I'm going to back up a little bit for a couple of minutes around just marriage itself. Marriage is really an incredibly awkward situation that civilization has developed over, I guess, thousands of years, and people partnered off more or less maybe for life or maybe just till the next baby. you know, half a million years ago. We don't know. But it's very awkward. You're trying to put together usually two very different people. They may say after they've dated a few times, oh, I love him or her. You know, they think he or she just thinks just like me. But it's really not true. It's really not true because they have parents and grandparents and lived in a particular house or apartment in a particular town or got sick when they were 10 and had surgery or whatever it is. And you put it all together and you have two incredibly different people, just amazingly different. But unfortunately, well, maybe it's fortunate. Usually they don't entirely realize the issues till some of the luck and first couple of, if they're lucky, the first couple of years at least have some very interesting, successful moments. But look, most people want a relationship, whether it's two men, two women, a man and a woman, whatever it is, people want the relationship. So what makes it bearable after the bomb kind of explodes that really it's tough? And I personally think that what makes it bearable is fun and being able to be childish and be able to be silly and be able to admit to having certain fantasies that help in the relationship, whether they're sexual fantasies or you know, let's play, just play cards like we're gamblers and then we'll go to bed together. Whatever it is, you know, whatever makes the pot work better. So what I loved about doing these three shows, currently I'm calling the Trilogy of Love, is each couple had to find their way to make, they wanted the relationship to work and they had to find a way. So I'm going to turn it back to Tara and then I'm sure we'll be back. I'll be back.
Yes, I totally agree. You know, relationships, like you said, are like, they're tricky. There's a lot of layers. It's very important that you find someone who, you know, you don't even need to find someone who just has every connection or the same interest as you. I think it's more about just finding that bond, like you were saying, finding that bond that you have with each other. So in this story, they have this bond and they're traveling and they're going to see this beautiful, you know, they're trying to go into India and see these beautiful areas. And then something else happens and it's not, the thing is like so many people today, I feel like in relationships, feel like they lose interest in their partner. But I don't think that's the case. And I think in this story, it's the same thing. It's not that she doesn't fall out of love or she doesn't want her husband. She just, there was like a little lack of fun. It was a little, it was just too routine. It was too, they were lacking just something. And that's okay. That's normal. I feel like people think that like when they have these fantasies or they're so sick of the routine that they think like the relationship is over. No, 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 no. It is not. It is absolutely not. You just have to find another element that's bring that spark or that flame, that fire back into the relationship. And I think this podcast kind of came at a very beautiful time because I dated a lot of people who I was fighting for that flame. I was fighting for that fire, that element that I was missing, and I never had it, and it was ugly. My relationships were ugly, and I recently found a guy who literally turned my world around, and it has been the most beautiful thing ever, and I can relate to these stories, not because he puts on a persona, but because, like Barbara, like you were saying, one minute we're having this really deep heart-to-heart conversation where, like, I'm tearing, he's tearing, like we're just like in the moment. And then flip of a switch and we're laughing. We're belly laughing. Mm-hmm. And like everything, like I'm on cloud nine and he like, and it's just like, those are the experiences that are meant to be. Like that's what we need to all experience. So I think these stories show you that just because you're attracted to something else doesn't mean you don't love your partner. And I think that's where people get lost. I think they're like, oh, well, you're cheating on me, or you don't physically like me, blah, 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 blah. No. That's not the case here. I think the case is just like, it means that you need to explore more. You need to just broaden your horizon. Listen, you love who you love. You're going to experience that love with who you love. But it's okay to, get a little crazy, get a little fun, a little wild here and there. But at the end of the day, when you have that connection with someone, it's so genuine and pure, and you cannot fight that. That's what I got.
Right. That's very, very well said. It's really a milestone when most couples, when they can relax and have fun and also be able to say today was a rotten day, but okay, I have a headache, I'm going to sleep, whatever, because we're part of the human condition and we just have all sorts of different things happen to us and different moods. And but I love the idea of playing together and having fun, and fantasy can be very good. It can be very, very useful. If you come down to breakfast and you want to be the king of England for a half an hour and I'm the man and I'm the woman, let's say, and I want to be Queen Elizabeth, who cares? It's not like we're having mental breakdowns. We're just having fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what life is about, having fun, enjoying it, making experiences, memories. What else do you want out of life? Those are the things, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you want a lot of things. You want success at work. I mean, it's all sorts of levels, but to feel that you've connected with somebody and it's worth staying year after year is some sort of, I think you're right. I mean, you come home to gloom and doom every night. It's not good. It's not going to work. But you made an important point, Tara, that a lot of people don't realize that if they could just hang in long enough to build these other layers of fun and being themselves in ways that work with each other, they probably would find there's no point in leaving, if they're right.
Absolutely.
For each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Matt, do you have any comments from the male? I'm sorry. From the male perspective?
No, I mean, I definitely agree and understand what you're saying about that. And for sure, I mean, I think that that's the, going back to the scripts and the story between these two different husband and wife stories, from I had an affair or did I, and I had an affair with my husband, is that that's what they're struggling with. And they find in this moment that we see them, they find that. And that's what I think is interesting, that sometimes you find something that is satiating a desire that you then later realize isn't quite you thought it was all cracked up to be, which is really exactly what we see in the two scripts that I have had an opportunity to help play in these ultimately video recorded voiceover roles on Zoom, because that's what they essentially are, is voice acting, but with a camera looking at you. And so that's the story that the moral of the story I take away from it is that what you're saying and Tara's saying is very true, but it's not always everything you hope it to be, as we learn in these stories. When they right. begin to realize it's grinding at some of their personalities or wearing away at certain elements of their relationship that they lost sight of.
For
sure. Yeah. It's not always, you know, predictable or to be fantasy. Not everyone believes in all that or wants even that. But, you know, if you find the right person, its story, it's definitely feasible. It's too far-fetched, you know. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, fantasy is just one tiny thing that can enter a marriage. Sometimes it's a hobby that people develop. You know, sometimes it's playing bridge with other people or playing tennis or sleeping late or all sorts of, it's just a million things. But keep the sort of rigid notion that marriage, if you find the right partner, is sort of going to happen naturally without some willingness to be flexible and try some new things is probably unrealistic. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the Zoom, though, from my perspective, because I've been working with Ming Chen, who runs the podcast studio that we've been using for the shows, and he's been willing to rerun or even highly edit a little bit of editing and changing some of the ways the performance looks, like taking the people's names off of when they speak. When the box comes up and someone speaks, when I first started to use Zoom, we left the person's name and sometimes even the person's name and then the name they had as a role in the Zoom drama. And it looks, it looks kind of less than professional, I'll say. And as we rerun the Zoom stuff, taking off the names and putting the two characters together with the others not in the picture when they're not talking, I have to say that as we clean these things up, it's amazing how much drama there really is in these two shows. These are not just readings. You know, they may not meet your standards because you're professional actors in my opinion, at a very high level. But from the viewer point of view, they come into their own as a real production. I'm very impressed. So at first I wasn't going to send them out ever as to film festivals because Zoom, I don't even know. I mean, you probably most professional camera teams would just turn up their noses. What are you saying? It's not even in the category of film work. I believe it will become another avenue of film work from what I'm seeing. And look, Ming and I are just fooling around. I mean, we're not even at the level where there are other adjustments that I'm sure can happen that we may not have the background, which a technician of a, you know, certain level might have. But I think they will be just like I believe that having actors do some of their own filming of various scenes, which is the niche I started with, which I called selfie filmmaking, where the actor does scenes with their camera, usually a cell phone of some sort, iPhone or Android, And that's merged later with a small crew having done some scenes. And, well, I should say as an aside, I'm excited because Tara has agreed to try that as an actress. So far I've had teenagers, and it's worked fabulously. But I haven't had a grown-up, so you're my grown-up. And I think that actually, Matt, you're going to be approached to be the husband. It's a minor part. I hope you won't feel insulted, but I think Debbie was on her way to approaching you because it all ends.
I have spoken to Debbie about that, and it definitely is an honor and much appreciated and nowhere near an insult. So thank you. Definitely would look forward to participation in another production.
Yes. And this, I think we can do a lot faster. The three films, well, first of all, we can do them, but we have to make, I have to make sure everyone's vaccinated, really from my point of view of age and being careful of some health things that my husband deals with. It's just, you know, I don't want to be one of these people sort of worried because someone really isn't, and I don't want to get into it, but, you know, I think hopefully within another month or so, we'll be in a situation where we can be comfortable with a very small group of people, because that's all it's going to take for this first film. I don't even think we'll have more than one cameraman, and the fairy godmother. It's really a marvelous little script. I have to say for myself, I mean, this one I wrote entirely myself, and although I haven't set it up totally professionally as a script with, you know, the special stuff they use to make a script in terms of your computer and stuff, it's just such a sweet story, and there's a nice ending. We need a nice ending. So where was I? I don't know where I was.
Yeah, in regards to Zoom being a medium of filmmaking and whether it has legs.
So once Ming helped me clean up some of these performances, I have thought, okay, I'm going to take a chance. It costs a few bucks, but I'll send it out as an experimental film. You know, see if it catches it all, particularly these last two. We'll see. They may not. You know, the film festivals just may not be ready to accept Zoom, period. But there's no harm in trying a few. And that's what I was going to say. Before we had played with some of the cleaning up, I would not, I can see why they would perhaps say, go ahead, do your Zoom radio drama, but it's not for us. But I think there is potential. There really is. And I think you came across, like, I mean, both of you came across with the intensity of if you were on stage. Now, you couldn't move around. I mean, I know you didn't have the movement and the eye contact, but you sure brought your characters to life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, and the rehearsal process worked really well for that.
The what process?
The rehearsal process worked really well for that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
good.
Whereas if we're doing just the stage reading, we might not have the opportunity to discuss the depth of the story and characters in advance as much or be able to cover it. But, you know, having rehearsed it like a play, several weeks in a row, that really helped polish.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did I interrupt you, Tara?
Nope. I was just agreeing, especially, you know, when we're talking about this Zoom platform. You know, I don't know how to say this, but I don't disagree with rehearsal, but I've been not used to rehearsals when it comes to film, right? We all know as actors and professional actors that we have to show up being prepared. So when you encounter a crew, you know, or a cast that wants to do rehearsals, it's interesting, you know, especially when you're not used to it. Can you hear me okay?
There's a little interference in the background. Wayne is here as well.
Yeah, I hear it too. I'm so sorry. I'm gonna move. I'm sorry. I'm over in Florida, so I think the Wi-Fi is a little funny. So I apologize. Mm-hmm. But is this better?
Much better. And
much
Barbara
better.
Wayne is here too.
Okay.
Barbara.
Wayne is here.
Wayne
is
with
us as well.
Oh, Wayne is here.
Wayne.
Hi, Wayne. Wayne, we played the song to start the show, and maybe we can play it once more in a few minutes.
Okay, whenever
can
you'd like to,
this?
Let me know.
Okay.
Hello, Barbara. How are you?
So,
hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi. Good to see you again.
I'm glad you got here, and give us 1 minute because Tara was just in the middle of saying that usually she doesn't, the rehearsals, they don't have the rehearsals, and I'm interested in that. I didn't even realize that I might have been sort of boxing you into something that, you know, wasn't the standard.
Go right ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Okay, you are definitely not boxing us. Anything, but I think it's two things. One, it's the whole Zoom world. It's very different. And two, I think just because of how, I guess, the expansion right now of how many filmmakers there are, I'm just saying I'm so used to not ever having a rehearsal. I usually just show up to set that morning or evening or whatever it is, being prepared or not. I mean, I'm the kind of actor that wants to be prepared, but some people do come to set not prepared. And, you know, you just kind of, you feel it out, you do your thing, and you go. I think the good thing about Zoom has allowed us to have that rehearsal to build that chemistry before you get on set. However, I don't hate the rehearsals or anything, but I have to say, as an actor's point of view, I kind of sometimes like, depends on the story, I kind of like going to set knowing my character and going to set with that mindset and then just feeling my co-star working. Because it becomes a little bit more authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in rehearsal, I think rehearsals are good for like live theater because it's live, whatever. But I think sometimes if you rehearse too much, you can lose that authenticity with your co-star. So I like to, you know, I love when directors give me a little bit of a backstory, but only a little bit because I want to create just a little something extra. So I can bring, you know, something more to the table. And then when, like, you know, obviously I've worked with Matt, right? So Matt plays my husband in this show. I already know how he acts and how he acts. However, this is a little different. So if we rehearse, it's not that it's going to be bad. It's not that the movie is going to be bad either. But if you do it too much, it'll be too repetitive, and then it will come across as too much as like a live theater, in my opinion. I feel like film is so deep, and it's more like the focus is on the facial aspect. I'm sorry I'm speaking so much, but I love film so much, so I'm just going to speak a little extra. But the camera captures so much that when you're doing a film, I think it's best that you leave it almost to the point where you're, like, about to film because – hold on. Because you get that authenticity, because you can get that realism, and you can really get that feeling across versus if you rehearse it like a theater show, it's going to come across as like, hey, here am I, I'm here, this is my character, and blah, 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 blah. Where if you rehearse it on your own with your own layer, and then you go to set with someone that you haven't really rehearsed with, you haven't really communicated, it's a little bit more authentic. Obviously, if you, like, you know, husband role, like Matt and I are husband and wife. So obviously, you know, they've been together for so many years. So you can't have this like, oh, I just met you today. But it works well because
right.
Barbara picked up on that we've worked with before. So, you know, Matt and I obviously know how we work. So we're going to come on set already knowing how we both handle each other and how we're going to play it off. However, I don't know how he's going to play his role, and I don't know how I'm going to play my role until we call action. And I think that is beautiful, and that's what I love about film, because it's that action and, like, that second mark hits, and it's like, what do you got? And that's what the audience is going to see, and that's the authenticity, and that is real and genuine and so special. And that is why I think rehearsals can be just a little bit on the repetitive side,
mm-hmm.
where, like, you come up and you're just so robotic. It's like, I'm going to stand here, I'm going to say this line, I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to say this line. And Barbara, I'm not trying to, like, downplay anything that you have in mind. I'm not, like, rehearsals are very good. I'm not saying that they're not. I'm just saying when it comes to film, because the camera lens captures so little, like, nuances, you might only want to do, like, a couple rehearsals.
Well,
Tara, can I jump in real quick, you guys? Real fast, Tara,
please.
You don't mind?
This
is Wayne.
Okay, yeah,
hi guys. For those of you who don't know me, I'm kind of a behind the scenes guy. I do audio, I do camera, I do a lot of stuff. And I think the point that Tara's making is 100% correct. But that being said, with Barbara's production on the Zoom, you have to understand something, Tara. It when you're doing a Zoom film like this, it's totally different than walking on set. Because you have so much technical stuff going on with each individual person's microphone, where they are, their sound, where they are, their background, where they are. And when you run a show like Barbara's, like you were in, unfortunately, you do have to rehearse it, because not so much for the actors. I think it's more the rehearsal for the timing of it all, because the way it's set up, and also because of the fact there's so much technical stuff that has to go on. Totally different animal than film. That's all I had to say.
Absolutely. Wayne, I'm sorry. I might have misinterpreted what I was saying. I was not talking about the Zoom. I was talking about rehearsals as far as a live set. Zoom calls, absolutely.
Oh, no,
I'm with
you 1,000%.
Yeah.
Like I said, everything you said was 100% right on.
Right. No, Zoom calls, absolutely. You need those timing, and especially with the lack of, like, internet and all that stuff, it's super important. So, yeah, I totally agree with you, for sure.
And
I agree back.
I want to make clear that on all the selfie films, the coming of age selfie films with the teenage girls, we never rehearsed. They did selfies on their own that we used in the final film. But when they met with the crew, it was all ad hoc. You know, they knew what we were going to do. We're going to meet school, and it's going to be a dance. We're going to meet in the park, and it's going to be a picnic, you know, whatever it is. But it was all done just within one day or 2 days of the different scenes. So I agree with you, too. But I'm just fascinated about this new possibility of another way of the world really sharing drama and music and dance and all sorts of things, and whether it will just be a stepchild or it will come into its own with the quality of equipment that will be developed and all sorts of things. We don't know, but it's interesting to me. And I'm like always, I'm sort of always thinking ahead. And even if I am no longer in the world, I'm already thinking about how people will communicate with each other in 30 years. And I believe that, for example, if you sit down to dinner in 30 years in New Jersey with friends or relatives in California, that you will somehow totally be together. You will smell their food cooking in California. You will be able to taste it either for real or in some microscopic way that it's transmitted to your taste buds. But it will be, you know, things will be amazing that in terms of technology and connection and the experience of closeness to people. That type of stuff just fascinates me. I want to give Wayne even more of a chance because at 5:10, we've got to stop and let Hercules close the show. Wayne, what would you like to tell us or talk about in terms of working on the three shows or just your whole life in the pandemic this year? Just give us something.
Well, basically, everybody's probably in the same position. I'm a musician. I'm also an actor. I'm behind the scenes. I'm kind of like a utility player in the entertainment business. Like, I pretty much ran the gamut of camera, sound, acting, singing, writing. And when the pandemic hit, literally for a personal level, for the past 4 years, I was making a living. I was making a living. Writing music for TV shows and independent movies and playing in a band. We had a European tour set up in Italy. We were doing very well with a new record out and things, and everything just came to a screeching halt. I mean, for one whole year, there was nothing. I mean, there was 47 production companies in Manhattan. I was doing a lot of background work. I was doing some spot gigs acting-wise and stuff, and everything just stopped. So when you were doing your thing, it was an opportunity to just kind of, you know, get the creative juices flowing again, and I really appreciate what you were doing. And it the whole pandemic thing was, and not only me, but I mean, my brother is in the union in New York City. He does electrical and lighting and stuff, and he was out of work for a year. When you just think about this, think about 47 production companies in Manhattan. Think about the caterers. Think about the set makers and the camera crews. How many people were out of work for a whole year? It was horrible, and it really hit me hard. So, you know, doing the Zoom stuff, it just almost gave you like that little breath of life. You know, we're still here, we're still doing it. Like, you know, we were in the recording studio doing more music, but you know, we stayed alive. Everybody that's creative and everybody listening that's creative and actors, and you know what I'm talking about. It's like you got to do it. If you're creative and that creative energy is not being used, you get weird. You almost have to do it, or you get weird, or some weirdness happens. So being able to use it was a blessing. And yes, this pandemic has been horrible for a lot of creative people, but we seem to be able to reach out in other directions. And Barbara, because of what you did, helped me write a couple tunes. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
That you asked me to do it, and I was happy to do it, and it helped me mentally, honestly. So
well,
it was part of it was there was going. I'm sure everybody that's creative understands what I'm talking about. It was a horrible
Wayne, let me just say to everybody, but it's particularly Wayne, you'll get a kick out of this. When I am slightly depressed or moody or sometimes in the morning tearful, I play all the songs that Wayne wrote for me. And I find it very uplifting. You know, of course, it helps that some of the verses I wrote, you know, I mean, I'm integrated into his music. But it makes me feel I don't know, like I think like I'm alive. So it's a wonderful, it goes back and forth.
Yeah, I understand. Barbara basically gives me her poems and asks me to, and she kind of gives me a little bit of idea of where she wants it. I'll give you an example. I have a pretty wide range vocal when I sing, and Barbara said to me, can you do something a little on the lower end side, you know? So she kind of guides me on what she wants, and I kind of just run with what she has, and we end up putting in between her lyrics and the music, it seems to work. But it's a team effort. Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah.
It's always fun. Yeah.
Good, good. I'm happy. I'm going to play your songs tomorrow morning again.
Okay, that's good.
So anyway, we could play the last song. Or maybe since there's so little time, I think we'll skip it.
Okay.
And we should let all three of you just each talk about maybe something that you want to let the public know, because we only have 4 minutes. Go ahead, please.
Sure. Well, I'll start, right, and I'll be short and sweet.
Yeah.
I have my first in-person event in over a year finally scheduled May 15th at the Moravian Bookstore in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, for a signing of my spy novel that I published the end of 2019, only a few months before everything shut down. And so that's a huge excitement and relief for me to finally see some light at the end of the tunnel, where I had like half a dozen events canceled in the first 2 months of the pandemic and no reschedule in sight until now. So I will be signing my book, Destiny Can Be Dangerous, at the Moravian Bookstore on May 15th from 1 to 3 p.m.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
People don't know how hard it is to actually finish a book. I give you a lot of credit.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it took me way longer than probably even the average author to write that book, but I'm proud of it and very excited. Thank you.
And Tara?
Definitely something, Matt. We're all proud of you for that.
Yeah,
I just wrapped up, you know, 4 independent films, a commercial, and I'm about to do a couple other I actually just booked a John Wick female version fan film where I play the alpha male, so I play like John Wick. I'm in fight choreography right now. I'm super stoked about it. I cannot wait. But besides that, I also have a show that I was supposed to do right before COVID happened. Literally, we were supposed to open the weekend the world shut down, but we are up and running, and we are going to put the show up in August at First Avenue Playhouse in Atlantic Highlands in New Jersey. But if you guys want to follow me, because I have a lot of things in the works, you know, TaraLondon_ on Instagram or TaraLondonOfficial.com is my website. And I love, 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 love being here to speak about this, this thing that I'm so passionate about. And I thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Hercules, and it means so much to me. So thank you so much for having me, and I love you guys. I see you in person and hug you, really. I have one vaccination, so soon, Barbara, I can hug you. And I can't wait.
I can't wait. I can't wait. And Wayne? I guess
thank you, Barbara.
I have
a new single, our band, the New Bardos, which is an all-original band. We have our new world premiere single coming out April 9th. It's Friday, along with a new video, the New Bardos. It's a remake of the old song In the Year 2525, which is kind of apropos for what's going on. So, and hey, Tara, by the way, I'm working on music for your fundraiser short, by the way. So.
You are, Wayne? What? I can't wait.
I am.
I'm so excited for it. I'm so looking forward to hearing it. I can't wait.
Great. That's all, folks.
Well, this was great. Really enjoyed having all of you on. And you can, I'll just say that you can reach me at barbara.holstein@gmail.com and the Enchanted Self. And it's been a pleasure to work with all of you. I hope to continue to work with all of you, including Hercules. You're all such important people in my life.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Barbara.
And
you're welcome.
Thanks to all the folks who listened in, whether you listened in live or you'll be joining us later on demand. And we have enough time to play Tango Affair. So we will fade out of the show with Tango Affair.
My darling.